Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. Hello and welcome to Becky Armin.
I wish I knew myself.
Every time I say Armin and then I think, actually, I've heard you say Amin, and then I don't know how to pronounce your name, which is awful.
I don't think I know myself, but Amin is fine.
Becky Armin, career coach extraordinaire and coaching revolutionary. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. Cold today, but good.
Yes, winter's day. So let's start with the question that I always ask my interviewees. How did you find coaching? What were you doing when you found coaching, and how did you come across it?
So I found coaching first a long, long time ago. So a friend of mine was training to be a life coach, so probably 15 years ago. And I was one of her practice subjects, if you like. So probably wasn't really desperately in need of coaching then, but that's what first opened my eyes to it. And then sort of had a keen interest from then. Then fast forward sort of 15 years and children, and you know, my own career having obviously progressed, etc. I was just feeling really lost in my own career, and then sort of looked into having some career coaching myself, had a few sessions, and yeah, one thing led to another, so it was sort of for myself, but then kind of thought, actually, I could do this. This is what I'd like to be doing with myself. So it was through friends, through my own experience of being coached, and then taking a sabbatical, taking some time out, and just really considering, what do I want to do with my career, which is what, you know, was my reason for engaging with coaching in the first place, was feeling unhappy in my career.
And what was your career?
So my career was talent acquisition, essentially. So I started out in recruitment agency world, moved to an outsourced provider who I stayed with for about 13, 14 years, and sort of worked up to leading a department and doing some project management and things, but all in that talent acquisition space, essentially.
Mm, okay, cool. So having found coaching, you then went off and got a coaching qualification.
Yes. So I did my qualification with the Career Counselling Service. That is sort of accredited with the Association for Coaching, so very much focused on career coaching as opposed to sort of more broad life coaching. But obviously for me, you know, with my background in talent acquisition and knowing that's what I wanted to focus on, that worked for me. But yeah, it was really important to me that it was something accredited, something that you know, had some gravitas to it. It was some face-to-face time. It wasn't just a log on the internet for 5 minutes and call yourself a coach.
So say 3 hours, $7 later. Yeah, no, exactly. Absolutely. And we could wax lyrical about the importance of actually having a coaching qualification, but I think we've probably covered that off between us over the time we've known each other, and I certainly have in this podcast. So before you found the coaching revolution, you took your coaching qualification. Then what happened? What were you doing about kind of growing your coaching business?
I wasn't doing it very well. So I did what a lot of people do, did my course, built myself a website, which wasn't that great, but the best that I could do on my own without spending any money on it, and put a few things on local Facebook groups, looked for some free clients first of all, which of course I got because it was free, and then hoped that people would just find me because I was qualified and could help. And shock horror, that didn't happen. So I think, you know, for me, I was in a place where I was still working in my other job part-time. This was something I was trying to sort of build up on the side. So I didn't put any thought into it. I thought I'd do my qualification. I thought I'd just sort of let people know I was doing it somehow, word of mouth, a few comments on the internet, and thought that I'd just be finding all my clients, and funnily enough.
It worked like that. You were doing that field of dreams thing, weren't you? Build it and they will come.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I sort of also went, you know, I spoke to a few coaches and asked them, you know, how do you get your clients? And there were a few that I knew that were doing some associate work, and there were some that were like, oh, well, it's just word of mouth. But that's something I found really odd, actually, was that the coaches I spoke to weren't, I don't know why. They just weren't very forthcoming in sort of going, oh, well, I did this or I did that. But as I say, I think a lot of them probably were mainly funding their stuff through being an associate or actually being employed and being an internal coach, for example, and it's sort of spiraling from there. So yeah, wasn't doing a lot. It wasn't going very well. And then I found you.
Just to pick up on something you just said there. You said they weren't very forthcoming. In my experience, that's because they don't have clients.
Yeah. And actually, when I think about it now, I'm thinking about who I spoke to. And I think a lot, it wasn't loads. It was a handful. And like I say, they were people that I know were getting a lot of associate work because of the, you know, the situation they'd found themselves in previously, and that had happened for them, which was great. And now I think about when I asked about individual one-to-one sort of funded clients, personal funded clients, they didn't have a lot to say. So I would imagine you're right. They didn't have any.
I know. And it's like, it's almost, if were I a conspiracy theorist, and 2020 is not the year for saying that, is it? But were I a conspiracy theorist, that the number of coaches who do not want to talk about it kind of probably closely mirrors that 82%.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's really interesting. And actually now, when I think, if anyone comes to me going, oh, I'm thinking about coaching, can I have a chat with you? I'm incredibly open and often point them your way as well, or always, in fact, point them your way. So it's really interesting, isn't it, as you say, that people don't, yeah, it's the first time I've really thought about that.
Like, if you have got an answer, you give an answer.
Exactly.
If you haven't, you go all a bit vague.
Yeah. Anyway, that's, yeah.
Yeah. So when you joined us,
yes.
When did you join us?
Probably just over a year ago. So it would have been, I think we had a conversation in October. I definitely had a session or two before Christmas last year. So I think it would have been about November when I really got going with you. Yeah.
Okay. So what were you hoping for when you joined us?
I was hoping for, it's really hard to put into words. I was hoping for help, essentially. I was hoping for someone to be able to say to me, this is what you need to do, this is what it needs to look like. I was hoping for someone to, if I'm completely honest, right at the beginning, I was hoping for somebody to give me a bit of a magic formula and go, oh, I'll just do this, this and this and it will work.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I didn't get that. I did get a magic formula, but it isn't, oh, in a month you'll earn £10,000 and everyone's a winner. It made, so what I hoped I would get would be a process, something easy to follow, something quick, and something that would just suddenly bring me a load of clients quickly. That's what I hoped to get. It's not what you told me I was going to get, but when I first contacted you.
I was going to say, I never promised you. So what did you get? What did you get from us?
I got what you told me I'd get. So, I got the process around what you need to be doing to attract clients. So I got a clear view that I am 50% marketer and 50% coach, that I'm not here just to coach people unless I get to a point where I can just outsource it all and all I do is my coaching, which would be lovely. I got a support network, which I wasn't expecting at all, because, well, not that I wasn't expecting at all, I was expecting, but I get a lot more from it than I thought. So I've got not only those 10 mentoring sessions given me my process and given me sort of visibility of where I need to be, what I need to be doing, how often I need to be doing it, where I need to be showing up. So I got all of that. But I also got a whole bunch of people around me that I know I can go to with a question. If I've got, say, for example, I got the opportunity to work with a corporate organization and I didn't have corporate terms of business and I could say, can anyone help me? Someone sent me a template, made it my own, and within an hour I had them. So I've had practical support in that sense. I've had support when things have felt hard. I've had support when just having one of those days where you're like, I'm just not feeling it today. And I've been able to show up at one of the cafes or something and someone's gone, oh, don't worry, why don't you do this tomorrow, and it's all felt a lot better.
Drink some wine, it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, I've got a process, I've got clarity on what I need to do, and I think that's the main thing, is that realization that it's not easy. No one's sat me on the phone for 10 sessions and gone, just do that and you'll be fine. I've been challenged in terms of my own, I guess, perception of how much I need to go out there and how much I need to be visible, and I've been given a real sense of why that's so important, and clearly proved that it is. But more than anything, like I say, I think feeling part of a team, but where we're all the same level and we're all kind of in it together.
Yes,
but
it's very hierarchical at all.
Not at all. So, but also what's lovely is that rather than seeing everybody as, because we work so hard, and again, something I've got from the Coaching Revolution is working so hard on defining who our ideal clients are. Even those people that ordinarily I might have looked at online and gone, oh, they're competition, oh, they've said that in that group and someone's going to call them instead of me. Actually, I know that all the career coaches in the Coaching Revolution, yes, we might be able to coach the same people, we might have the same target audience, but we all coach on something slightly different. And in fact, we've even tagged each other in staff or recommended each other to, you know, to each other. So again, I think that it's helped me realize that we all have competition, but we all have one ideal client, and mine is not the same as the other person that calls himself a career coach.
No, I know. And I think that's incredibly important to realize, is that we are not in competition with one another. Yeah. And one of the things that I think coaches who aren't aware of kind of marketing ourselves like this, they feel threatened by others in their field, and it's, you don't need to, do you?
No, exactly. And I think, yeah, of course, maybe there's people that have had consultation calls with me and other people within the Coaching Revolution. I'm sure they have. But the reason they will have chosen the other person or me is probably because they're closer to whoever's ideal client they are. So, so it's given me a real sense of just being comfortable in knowing who I coach, why I coach them, what I can offer them, why I'm different, and just not feeling that like anxiety of like, oh God, they're going to go with someone else. You know, it's like, well, they might go with someone else. That's fine, because I was not the right coach for them. They weren't the right client for me. So
yeah, and that more will come. That it, yeah. There's not a scarcity thing.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah, and I mean, there's always ebbs and flows. You know, that for me, August was quiet. This month is proving to be pretty quiet, but I coach mums who have children at home in August and coming up to the Christmas holidays, so naturally it would make sense. But my expectation now, with the benefit of, you know, this last year and albeit a strange year, I think it still followed a similar pattern. I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, December's really quiet, what am I gonna do, I'm never gonna get another client. I'm sitting here thinking, my diary's looking quite quiet, that's nice. Yeah. I can actually get ready for Christmas. January is probably going to be really busy. I should be happy about this. So, you know, a year ago, I would have been pretty terrified at being having a quieter month, but I'm not, because it won't be quiet in January.
Fantastic. So I was going to ask you what you got from us that was unexpected, but I think you've already answered it in terms of community, haven't you?
Yeah, I think the community, I'd say that's the biggest thing, is the community. And I mean, I think as well, I can't quite put it into words. It all leads to community. I think it's the feeling of not being alone is the biggest thing, which I wasn't expecting. I was expecting it to the degree of thinking, oh, well, I'll have my mentor, and there's some, you know, when I joined, the cafes and things didn't exist, because obviously that was after coronavirus. So I knew, obviously, like the training days that happened, I was excited about those, and you know, the Monday night lives, so I kind of knew there would be those, but it felt more like I would engage and hopefully somebody would engage back. But actually it's almost the other way around. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I really should go in there and be supportive and kind and nice to everybody else, but I've just got to do this other thing today. So but it's never going, and you know, it doesn't go away, so it's great that it's there. So yeah, I'd say community support. And this year, that has been what everybody's needed. So,
yeah, I think the idea of us having colleagues, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about you did a collaboration. You wanted to make a lead magnet for mums during the coronavirus, kind of the homeschooling thing where all the schools were shut. And I know you worked with one of the other coaches to create something.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm trying to think how that came about now, but I think we were having
some.
It was just before the cafe started. So I think we'd had a call, Elisa, my mentor, had kindly organised for the three of us, or three or four of her mentees, to do a call together right at the very start of lockdown, just to check in. And we all got to meet each other. And it was when Helen had just signed up, I think. And then she mentioned, that she's a teacher and now a tutor and blah, blah, blah. And I was talking about what my client was going through and having kids at home, and yeah, and we collaborated to create this lead magnet, which I wouldn't have, I'd been putting it off and couldn't figure it out and didn't know what to put in it. And then she's like, oh, I could help with that. So it was a combination of something for the kids to do and something for the mums to do for themselves. So it was kind of her learning stuff for kids, my stuff to help mums career-wise. And yeah, and it was a good, and it also meant that I could send it to my school, which ordinarily they wouldn't have accepted, but because it had a kids activity on it, they did.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So what's been the most challenging thing? You're not allowed to say coronavirus.
Coronavirus, yeah. So the most challenging, so just within my business.
Yeah. So, yeah. So since we became acquainted.
Yeah. The most challenging thing I would say is, that's a good question. I mean, it's a couple of things that I would pick out on, but I think the most challenging thing is consistency, because I know I need to be consistent, and I know that because you guys have taught me that. So it's not enough just to put your one post out for your workshop and hope everybody sees it, and then suddenly you know, you've got 10 clients. So I think the reason I say that's challenging is because you've got to be consistent. You know, if you're not, you've got to plan, you've got to you know, if you know you're not going to be around for a week or whatever, things have got to be scheduled. You've got to have content to put out there that's going to still be relevant and interesting, and showing up on multiple platforms and being visible. And you know, this year, I know I'm not meant to be talking about coronavirus, but obviously, you know, face-to-face stuff has been taken away. So it's finding ways to still be consistent when I can't go to an event, or I can't go and, you know, network with people. So whilst consistency isn't difficult necessarily, it's more just the planning for and the time and energy to put into it to just keep showing up and making sure, because also, you know, when those months come, the consistency leads to lots of inquiries, which is brilliant, but then those lots of inquiries hopefully then leads to lots of clients, which then make it really hard to keep showing up in that month when you've suddenly become really busy. So I think, yeah, just keeping relentlessly being consistent, being visible every day. You know, this isn't a weekly thing.
And I need to add in at this point that you do have two primary school age children.
Yes.
To add into the mix.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old to kind of distract me as well. So. Although that's quite a good reason to do this, so that I, you know, can.
You don't have to do that. Yeah, absolutely. So you're talking about this kind of being consistent and planning, and listening to you, and I know this isn't true, but it sounds like it's really hard work.
It's not that it's hard. No, it's not hard work. It's more, maybe it's just me. I think it's repetitive. So it's not hard, it's repetitive. So I think, but I found ways and means to sort of cope with that. Because it would be a really good reason to go, oh, it feels like a bit of a drag to keep doing that. I'm just not going to bother this week. But if you don't bother this week, then you don't get any consultation calls next week. And if you don't get any consultation calls, you've got no clients next month. So it's more that kind of, it's motivation to do it more than anything, because it's probably the part of my job that I've enjoyed doing, to kind of get to the point where I feel I'm crafting my sort of message well, in terms of talking about what my client's feeling, what they need to hear from me, what they want to happen, rather than going, I am a coach and this is my process. Like, you know, so it's been great to keep showing up and be consistent in that sense, because it's taught me that. Mm. But like I say, it's the volume of doing. So the things that I've done to sort of help with that. So I use Buffer scheduling tool. Other scheduling tools are available, but I use Buffer, which really helps. So going in and, you know, just scheduling as many posts as I can for the week, for the platforms. I've got a Facebook group. So again, I've been sat this morning scheduling in some posts for that for the next couple of weeks, you know, before going on holidays or before the Christmas break. Again, it's just all about scheduling and planning. So, and that's something I've always been good at in my career, is planning and organising my time and being effective with my time. I think when it's just you, it can be very easy to go, oh, I've got a sort of spare morning. I could do all the stuff I know I should be doing, or I could take the morning off, or go and do the laundry, or go and do the whatever else. So yeah. It's not that it's hard, it's the one thing that you've got to keep doing. And I think it's the pressure of knowing, although it doesn't feel hard, and although it's not difficult, but if you stop it, then you, so it's more the pressure of knowing if I stop the consistency, everything else is gone.
Yeah, it's like turning a tap off, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think it's not so much, so that's probably why I say it's the most challenging. It's probably not challenging, it's probably more that it's, yeah, it's pressured because it's like, I've got to do it. I don't want to do it today. I've got
no
to
choice.
Do it. Yeah, exactly.
So what's the best thing about this last year as far as your coaching business and the coaching revolution are concerned?
The best thing, do you know, it's really funny because I sort of, you know, you sort of chug along, don't you? And there are months where I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel, you know, I'm a bit worried or I'm a bit scared or things aren't quite what I want. And then the next month comes and it's super busy. So, but if I think back this time last year, I hardly had any clients. I'd never done any group coaching. I felt quite alone and I didn't really know what to do at all. Whereas now, you know, all those things are very different. So the best thing for me, I would say, has been the consistency of clients. It has been up and down. I'm not going to lie that every single month has been totally stacked, but, you know, I've had probably 4 times the amount of clients this year than I had last year. So the volume of clients, I've started group coaching, which I never thought I've been talking about wanting to do since the beginning of last year, and finally did, and I'm on my second cohort. And again, I think without the encouragement of the people within the coaching revolution, I probably wouldn't have done that. I'd have somehow talked myself out of it. You know, Sarah, when I launched this last month, like I was going, ah, I don't know what to do. I've said it's happening on this day and I've only got a couple of people signed up. What am I going to do? And you were like, you're going to be consistent. You're going to keep emailing people and you're going to do it. And I was like, okay. But I wouldn't have done, you know, I would have probably gone, oh, it feels a bit weird to keep emailing these people. And I don't know if I want to do that. And actually with your encouragement and sort of talking about why and how to do that, I did it and it definitely brought at least one or two.
And it's also why and how to do it without feeling like some kind of spammy, salesy, noxious, bloody, awful person.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the best thing for me would be the increase in volume of clients, launching a new offering, which is the group coaching, and quitting my other job. So that finished at the end of April. I resigned in February, which at the time I thought, what have I done in March when I was working my notice and coronavirus hit? But in hindsight, I mean, thank God I did, because coaching would have fallen by the wayside So they're the things for me. And I think with the coaching revolution, it's the stuff I've said, like particularly this year, the support of knowing I'm not on my own. And if it ever felt that way, if it ever felt too much, you know, I had one of my kids was home for 6 months. He didn't go back to school at all because he wasn't in one of the year groups that did. And that's really hard work. You know, again, if I think back now, yeah, we all chunked through it, but had I not have got the support of just going, I just need to ask someone a question, or this feels like I don't have time to do this. If I talk to somebody from the coaching revolution, I'm sure they'll be able to help me. So I think there's numerous times that if I'd not had that support or just that gang of people to just ask a question in a Facebook group, and within 5 minutes, someone's always answered it, always. Never wait more than 5 minutes and someone's replied to something. It's helped me not sink in homeschooling and coronavirus and whatever else. And I'd be very inclined to say that had I not been with you guys this year, I would have probably given up on it by now. I'd have just thought it's too hard.
Well, I tell you what, your clients are glad you haven't.
I'm sure, yeah. And I've had some really lovely feedback actually recently, so it's been really nice, particularly from my first cohort of group coaching. So that's again given me that incentive to keep going with that. So yeah, I'd like to think so too.
So how do you feel about the future?
I feel positive. I feel excited. I feel anxious as well at the same time. But if I didn't, then, you know,
you feel anxious. That's how it goes, isn't it, when you're self-employed?
Exactly. And I think if I didn't, there'd be a problem, because if I'm not worried about it, I'm not going to do it. And I'm excited. I've got a million and one ideas about what I want to do. I just need to stop thinking about lots of different ideas and focus on a couple for next year. I'm really excited about doing more of the group coaching, making more of my group on Facebook, doing more of the one-to-one. You never know, hopefully seeing you guys in person at some point this year, next year.
I can't wait for that, for our face-to-face stuff to come back. They are so good.
Because I managed to squeak that one in January, that obviously the one that happened in January, and then obviously the next one was over the Zoom stuff. But anyway, so the things I'm excited about, there's so much to be excited about. So I'm feeling really positive about the future. And yeah, I just wish I'd done it a bit sooner. I spent 4 years going, oh, what am I going to do with my life?
If I could have a penny for everybody who said, why didn't I find you sooner?
Yeah, but actually, you know, for me, my youngest, you know, is now in year one, and with everything that happened this year, it would have probably been harder. So hindsight's great, isn't it? But,
oh, isn't it? 2020 vision. So what would you say if somebody's listening to this podcast and kind of thinking, do I want to join the coaching revolution? Is this something I want to do?
Yeah, I tell them, yes, it is. I mean, I think, look, I deliberated for a while, and I know, you know, in the same way that I have people that I'm sure read my posts on Facebook and LinkedIn and watch my videos and kind of go, oh, should I, shouldn't I? It feels like a lot of money. Oh, I don't know. But as I say, I think if I'd have, I mean, my view was I had had some clients off my own back. I wasn't that terrible that I'd never had a client before I came to you guys, but I sort of had put that money aside, and I chose to take what I'd earned from that to invest in paying for this. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so it didn't hurt me that way in terms of, you know, the finances. I kind of was able to reinvest that, and, you know, within the first three clients that I signed up, it paid itself back, and you know, everything after that was profit. So yeah, I mean, I think it is sometimes hard to get your head around, and I think, you know, but when you look at what else is available out there, there's a lot of different people claiming to do very, very similar things, and I've engaged in some other area, some other, you know, Facebook groups or whatever, and looked at them. But I think the way that the coaching revolution stands out, and why I would always recommend you to people, is that it's that just very genuine nature of who you are, who the, you know, the people, the mentors are, but also just who the mentees are. Mm. There's no feeling of like, we've got you now, so we don't care. Like it's very real. What you say you do is real, and you don't get in and then feel upsold to all the time, or, oh, well, you've got a bit of it, but you need to give us more money if you want the rest. There's none of that. So, I think it's genuine. It's genuinely helpful. It's not a pipe dream of, you know, come and do these five quick things and then you'll be rich. Make it very obvious at the start, like, yeah, we can show you how to do it, but you've got to go and do the work. We're not going to go and do it for you. Whereas I think that's what a lot of people overpromise, is that it's going to be easy. So in the short answer is that I would tell people they should just bite the bullet and do it. And, you know, within hopefully your first few months of signing up, you'll have signed up a few new clients anyway, and that will have paid for it, and then draw a line under the cost and just take advantage of the benefits, which exist forever, which is amazing.
Yeah, we're here for always.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just to kind of wrap up, because as we suspected, we haven't had any difficulty at all in talking about that. I know, because you've said you work with mums who are kind of agonising about what to do with their career, because now they suddenly find that they don't love it as much as they did before they were mums. So if there's a mum listening, how do we find you?
So you can find me through my website, which is www.rebeccaamincoaching.co.uk. So Amin, A-M-I-N, or you can find me in my Facebook group, which is called Career Happy Mums. They're probably the best two ways to find me.
Okay, I'm just going to say it's rebeccaamincoaching.co.uk, because it went a little bit crackly.
Oh, did it? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So I'm just going to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear that. Becky, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. And let's look forward to 2021.
Yeah. Yay!
Thanks. You've been listening to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. If you go to Facebook and search Coaching Republic, you can find our business building community, especially for coaches. See you there.